By the end of 2010, Dr. Potty had resigned from Duke. The university had stopped the three trials for good. Scientists from elsewhere had claimed that Dr. Potty had stolen their data for inclusion in his paper in the New England Journal, and officials at Duke had started the process of retracting five prominent papers, including the one in Nature Medicine. The paper in the New England Journal, not one of these five, was also retracted in March of this year. At this point, the NCI and officials at Duke asked the Institute of Medicine, a board of experts that advises the American government, to investigate. Since then, a committee of the Institute, appointed for the task, has been trying to find out what was happening at Duke that allowed the problems to continue undetected for so long, and to recommend minimum standards that must be met before this sort of work can be used to guide clinical trials in the future. At the committee's first meeting in December 2010, Dr. McShane stunned observers by revealing her previously unpublished investigation of the Duke work. Subsequently, the committee's members interviewed Dr. Baggerly about the problems he had encountered trying to sort the data. He noted that in addition to a lack of unfettered access to the computer code and consistent raw data on which the work was based, journals that had readily published Dr. Potty's papers were reluctant to publish his letters critical of the work. Nature Medicine published one letter with a rebuttal from the team at Duke, but rejected further comments when problems continued. Other journals that had carried subsequent high-profile papers from Dr. Potty behaved in similar ways. Dr. Baggerly and Dr. Coombs did not approach the New England Journal because, they say, they never could sort that work enough to make critical comments to the journal. Eventually, the two researchers resorted to publishing their criticisms in a statistical journal, which would be unlikely to reach the same audience as a medical journal. Two subsequent sessions of the committee have included Duke's point of view. At one of these, in March 2011, Dr. Nevins admitted that some of the data in the papers had been corrupted. He continued, though, to claim ignorance of the problems identified by Dr. Baggerly and Dr. Coombs until the Rhodes scandal broke, and to support the overall methods used in the papers, though he could not explain why he had not detected the problems even when alerted to anomalies. At its fourth and most recent meeting, on August 22nd, the committee questioned eight scientists and administrators from Duke. Rob Califf, a vice-chancellor in charge of clinical research, asserted that what had happened was a case of the Swiss cheese effect, in which 15 different things had to go awry to let the problems slip through unheeded. Asked by The Economist to comment on what was happening, he said, "As we evaluated the issues, we had the chance to review our systems, and we believe we have identified and are implementing an improved approach." The university's lapses and errors included being slow to deal with potential financial conflicts of interest declared by Dr. Potty, Dr. Nevins, and other investigators in the form of patents or involvement in Expression Analysis Inc. and Cancer Guide DX, two firms to which the university also had ties. Moreover, Dr. Califf and other senior administrators acknowledged that once questions arose about the work, they gave too much weight to Dr. Nevins and his judgment. That led them, for example, to withhold Dr. Baggerly's criticisms from the External Review Committee in 2009. They also noted that the internal committees responsible for protecting patients and overseeing clinical trials lacked the expertise to review the complex, statistics-heavy methods and data produced by experiments involving gene expression. That is a theme the investigating committee has heard repeatedly. The process of peer review relies, as it always has done, on the goodwill of workers in the field who have jobs of their own and frequently cannot spend the time needed to check other people's papers in a suitably thorough manner. Dr. McShane estimates she spent 300 to 400 hours reviewing the Duke work, while Drs. Baggerly and Coombs estimate they have spent nearly 2,000 hours. Moreover, the methods sections of papers are supposed to provide enough information for others to replicate an experiment, but often do not. Dodgy work will out eventually, as it is found not to fit in with other more reliable discoveries, but that all takes time and money. The Institute of Medicine expects to complete its report and its recommendations in the middle of next year. In the meantime, more retractions are coming, according to Dr. Califf. The results of a misconduct investigation are expected in the next few months, and legal suits from patients who believe they were recruited into clinical trials under false pretenses will probably follow. The whole thing, then, is a mess. Who will carry the can remains to be seen. But the episode does serve as a timely reminder of one thing that is sometimes forgotten. Scientists are human, too.